today on Life Talk.
The only way that I can always rejoice in the Lord is if I believe that God is ultimately in charge of my life and is working things out for my good. Like Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Last time we were together, I talked to you about cultivating an unselfish attitude. And this time I want to talk to you about a winning attitude. Because let's face it, you either have an attitude that helps you win in life, or you've got an attitude that shoots you down. Your attitude is the one thing you take with you everywhere you go. In fact, believe it or not, people know you by the attitude you carry more than almost any single thing. I can remember struggling so hard as a teenager with a bad attitude. And that bad attitude almost ruined my life. Your attitude matters because you wear your attitude on your face, in the way you walk, the way you carry yourself, the things you say, and the direction in life you go. So in today's message, I want to pull in tight on the Apostle Paul and dissect his amazing winning attitude. Let's see what we can learn from this king of a winning attitude. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, A Winning Attitude, from the series called Shift.
So let me just show you Paul's winning attitude. And as I read these things, I want you to stop and think, what would I have done in these situations? Let me give you an example. From a dark, dingy prison cell, he wrote, rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. Do you see here that it's a choice to rejoice? Do you think being in a prison cell made him feel like rejoicing? No, but he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, in case you missed it, I say rejoice. Now, what would we be doing? I think a lot of American Christians would be calling their lawyer. I've been put in prison for something that I didn't do. I didn't break any laws. There's a lot of American Christians that would be saying, don't discriminate against me this way. That's not what Paul did at all. Paul said, you know what I'm going to do in prison? I make the choice to rejoice, and I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can you say with me, that's attitude. Let me give you another example. When thrown into another prison, not for breaking a law, but for setting a young girl free from a demon, he's thrown into prison. But before he's thrown into prison, he's whipped 39 times with a whip across his back. If you had taken Paul's shirt off and looked at his back looked like a road map. Scars crisscrossing his back from receiving 39 lashes five times. I counted, that's 195 whips across his back. But what does he do? It says, after he's whipped, he's thrown into prison. And yet, what does he do? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns to God. Everybody say attitude. His faith affected his attitude. He said, Silas, there's nothing we can do, but I believe that God's in charge. Let's just break loose into a praise session. And the praise session led to the original jailhouse rock. Because God said, I'm looking down at my kids. There they are praising me in the middle of adversity. I can't take it. And he sent angels. And there was a great earthquake. And all the prison doors swung open and all of their shackles dropped off. And that happened by a man who refused to let his attitude be beaten down by circumstances. When he was experiencing a thorn in the flesh, it was a deep, persistent, vexing irritation that would not go away. And he went to God with it three times. And God said to him finally, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so he said, I'm not going to take the thorn away, but I'm going to grace you to walk with that thorn. Now, a lot of us would have said, well, thanks a lot, God. Here I am. I'm being thrown in prison for you. I'm being whipped for you. I've lost everything for you. And you can't even take this thorn away. I'm picking up my marbles and going home. And we'd have had an attitude. But that's not what Paul did. He said, now I'm glad to boast about how weak I am. I am glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power instead of showing off my own power and abilities. Since I know, everybody say, I know. He said, since I know, it's all for Christ's good. I am quite happy about the thorn. Say, what? You're happy about a daily, hourly, persistent, irritating vexation? And then he said, and while I'm at it, not just the thorn, but about insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you hear the attitude in that? This is reeking of a winning attitude. When I am weak, then I am strong. The less I have, the more I depend on Him. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise today. Come on, everybody. Everybody say the attitude king. He's the attitude king. Look at this. Over and over again, this great man was assailed with adversities of every single kind. Yet the winning attitude that he had only soared in spite of it all. He had a winning attitude. So I want to know where he got it. So I'm going to dissect his attitude. Well, he really dissected it for us. And he told us, you can do a lot of things to me, but you cannot take my winning attitude away from me. First of all, he believed God was in charge of his life. I want you to say with me, God's in charge. Do you really believe that? Listen to what he said. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, I don't know about you, but I read those verses and I say, wow, those are great verses, incredible verses. I love those verses. Have you ever tried that? Rejoice in the Lord some of the time. Rejoice in the Lord when things go my way. Rejoice in the Lord when God answers my prayer. But he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And when I read that and I think about some of the things that I experienced throughout the week that are anything but a cause to rejoice, then the only way, listen carefully to me, that I can always rejoice in the Lord is if I believe that God is ultimately in charge of my life and is working things out for my good. Like Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good. All things, bad things, good things, in-between things, betrayals, backstabbings, disappointments, disillusionments, letdowns, all things are made by God to work together for my good. You know what that verse is telling me? God's in charge of everything in my life. I believe that Paul and Silas could sing in jail at the midnight hour because they believed the Lord was in charge of their lives. What were they saying when they did that? I believe that God is ultimately in charge. It looks like it's out of control. It's not out of control. My God is in charge, and when he gets good and ready to let me out of here, he will let me out of here. But in the meantime, I'm going to lift up my hands, and I'm going to praise him, and I'm not going to let the devil, I'm not going to let circumstances, I'm not going to let evil men take away from me my joy and my winning attitude. Come on, everybody. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. Paul could write from the depressing depths of a prison cell. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And then another great example is Joseph. Let me tell you what happened to Joseph in a nutshell. Sold away into slavery by his own brothers. Lied about by his boss's wife. Thrown into prison for something terrible that he didn't do. And he was forgotten by two men that he was good to. Now, most people going through something like that would say, God's against me. I don't understand where God is. Why isn't he answering my prayer? Why isn't he helping me? How have I ended up in a situation like this? Or they'd be bitter at their brothers. They'd be carrying a chip on their shoulder. Their attitude would be negative because of all that they had gone through. But folks, I'm here to tell you that when you read Joseph's life, you do not see a negative attitude, but you see an upbeat, faith-filled, positive outlook attitude. How in the world did he maintain an upbeat, winning attitude? He tells us how, and it's one of my favorite verses. He looked right at his brothers after daddy died, daddy Jacob died, and they were afraid that Joseph was going to take vengeance on them. Joseph said, you don't understand. You intended to harm me, but God intended it. Oh, I love but God. You intended to hurt me, but God. You intended to destroy me, but God intended it all for good. Good stuff. He goes on. He says, he brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of the lineage that would bring forth Messiah Jesus. I'm a man of destiny. I'm a man of purpose. And though you tried to hurt me, you couldn't hurt me, because no weapon formed against a child of God can prosper, and any tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of him, says the Lord. Come on, church. Evil people can't hurt you. I love, you intended to hurt me, but God overruled you. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his way. And though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. When evil men try to hurt you, there is a sovereign God who always says, checkmate. He always says, checkmate. It may look like the devil is winning the day, but the final chapter has not been written. If you'll keep your attitude right, stay in the Word, stay in prayer, because God is preparing a table. I think I'm going to preach a little bit today. God is preparing a table before you in the very presence of your enemies. He's going to make your enemy watch while he blesses you and delivers you and provides for you and heals you.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you, too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111. Or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
The Psalms totally agree with Joseph's assessment. It says, he, God, Psalms 105, verse 16, he, God, called for a famine on the land of Canaan, cutting off the food supply. Then he, God, sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Notice, it wasn't his brothers that sent him. It was God who sent him. God just used the evil of his brothers to work it for Joseph's good. They were nothing but pawns in the hands of God to bring about Joseph's destiny. See, the devil's always overplaying his hand. He sent the famine on Canaan. God did. He sent it. He says he did. He sent Joseph to Egypt. So ultimately, it wasn't his betraying brothers that sent him there, that sold him into slavery. God's hand was overruling the whole thing and leading his son, his called one, into Egypt, knowing the day would come. He was second only to Pharaoh, and all the tribes of Israel would be saved from starving to death because he sent his man ahead of them to Egypt, and he overruled the evil his brothers intended. And this understanding of God's sovereignty is what contributed to Joseph's winning attitude. Listen, just because bad, difficult, trying, or testing things happen in the life of a child of God doesn't mean God's not in charge. He's always overruling all of it and ordering your steps to the final conclusion he had for you. Man. So just say with me, God's in charge. Now, the second ingredient to a winning attitude that I see in Paul, he told us he was thankful. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. So there's always that hard word. But now in this one, there's a hard one too. In everything, give thanks. So we got always in everything. And here again, it's difficult to imagine giving thanks in everything until you realize it helps when you stop to think. He didn't say give thanks for everything, because everything is not thankworthy. You don't give thanks for something the devil does. You don't give thanks for some evil a person commits. But he didn't say, for everything, give thanks. He said, in the presence of every circumstance you find yourself in it, give thanks. In it, give thanks. But you know what? That's a tough call too. I don't know about you, but that doesn't come natural to me when I'm sitting in the line at Kroger and there's 10 people in front of me and the guy that is at the checkout right then with all those groceries, his card won't work. And they're calling the assistant manager and then they call the manager. And this guy obviously has a card that is never going to work. And we're standing there and the line is stacking up. I do not feel an anointing on myself to right then stop and in everything give thanks. I do feel that to say, Lord, would you take care of this man right now? Would you get him out of here? But technically, what Paul is telling us here is right then, you ought to stop and have a praise moment. In everything, give thanks. In the presence of every circumstance, good, bad, or indifferent, in it, give thanks. And if I believe that God's in charge, and I believe he's providentially leading me, then I can do that because he's going to work it out. You can't believe what happened to me Friday night. I'm going to give you an example. I'm not going to tell you what happened to me Friday night. Okay, I'll tell you what happened to me Friday night. Here's what happened Friday night. Friday night, I was on a nationwide call-in radio show where you call in the pastor from all over the country and you ask Bible questions. And I do that about every 6 weeks or so. I'm the one on there, and I did it Friday night. And it starts at 5 o'clock here. I'm supposed to be here at 5 o'clock. Well, I'm supposed to be here at 4:30, do a sound check, make sure everything's working. And then it goes at 5. And at 5 o'clock, at the flip of a switch, we are on to the entire United States of America in every city. Now, I left in plenty of time. I left my house. Then I got on I-35. I'm going to write a song about I-35. I'm going to call it Highway from Hell. I-35. It never goes my way. It is always against me. It always tests my faith and my religion. I got on I-35 thinking, I'm cool. It's all right. I got plenty of time because I left in plenty of time. And before I knew it, it's at a total standstill. Now, I have my GPS on, and I have it set to a woman's voice who is British. Get off at the next route. Turn left. And, you know, it's the British accent. I just like the British accent. So I'm stuck. And all of a sudden, my little GPS comes up and says, I have an alternate route. And says, get off here. And so I thought, she sees something I don't see. She sees that I can get off here and get there quicker. So I got off, and I was stuck. Listen, GPS is right most of the time, but it's not as good as Jesus. I should have listened to the Holy Ghost and stayed on, but I listened to the GPS. It gave me a little lesson. Never choose the GPS over the Holy Ghost. I got off, and I'm sitting there at a red light, and I'm watching the 35 traffic go by as I just sit there. Now, I'm watching my clock go, and all of a sudden, my GPS shows me arriving here at 5. I'm supposed to be here at 4:30. 5 o'clock is when we go live. Shows me getting here at 5. You know what I did? At first, I had a fit. And then I decided I can have a fit or I can have a benefit. So I said, Lord, you're in charge. I believe you're in charge. Lord, if you want me on that show, you know all the people that are going to hell. You know all the people that needs this show. So Lord, if you want me on this show, then you've got to get me there on time. And I thought, you're the way maker. You could part the Red Sea. You can part this traffic. And so red light, green light, red light. I waited for 4 lights to change. For me to get back on the highway, I roll up here at 4:59. Valerie was at the door. She said, go. I ran up the stairs. I sat down and put on those headphones and said, hello, America. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, when I pulled up, I had 10 miles of gas left. Oh, I was in a stress situation, deluxe. And so I had to make up my mind. I can sit here and have a fit and get out of the spirit and get in the flesh. And I will not bless anybody in America. Or I can just start right here and say, Lord, I believe you're in charge. You're going to get me there on time. And I mean, you talk about an 11:59 God. I got there at 11:59. Everybody say, give thanks. In everything. Give thanks. I thanked him. He was in charge and he got me there. Listen, if you want to change your attitude, thank God. Be thankful. If you've got a bad attitude, sour attitude, defeated attitude, the number one thing that will bulldoze that attitude away is being thankful. Sometimes you've got to look for the silver lining in the dark clouds. It's always there. The silver lining is always there. And that's what you look for, and that's what you thank God for. The great Bible commentator Matthew Henry was held up and robbed one night on his way home. I love Matthew Henry's commentary. I read him a lot. But he was robbed one night going home. He later wrote these words in his journal. Let me be thankful. First, because he never robbed me before. Second, let me be thankful because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, let me be thankful because although he took all I possessed, it wasn't much. Fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Now that's the silver lining. See, he found the silver lining and he thanked God. His attitude remained a winning attitude. So say with me, be thankful.
Be thankful.
God's in charge. And one last thing. He said, pray always. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. He said, pray, 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 pray always. Why? Because when we pray, not only to get answers to prayer, but when we pray, we come into contact with the attitude king, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in the place of prayer, always comforts, always encourages, always strengthens us, always sends a word of hope. It's in the place of prayer our burdens are lifted, our sorrows are comforted, our worries are removed, and our attitude is transformed in the place of prayer. But here's the main reason that I want to bring out today, because we're dealing with an attitude. The main reason you pray and why it helps you maintain a winning attitude is because when you pray, it changes the way you see your troubles. Now, let me give you an example. A man named Asaph wrote many of the Psalms. He was deeply troubled when he looked around him and saw how the wicked were prospering. He said, I see the wicked prospering. Everything that they experience is good for them. They're prospering. They're doing well. They're not weeping. They're not crying. They're not dealing with financial issues. I see the wicked prospering. And then I look at me, a godly man, myself, and I see that I'm chastened all day long. And I am surrounded by troubles. And he said, this doesn't make sense. This is vexing me. This is getting to me. This is running a number on me. He describes it this way. As for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping. And I was almost gone. You know what he's saying? I almost lost my faith. Because the devil was saying to him, what good does it do you to walk with God? Look at you. You're chastened all day. You're in all kinds of troubles and trials. But look at the wicked. They're all prospering. How can that be right? Where's God? He said, so I almost lost my faith. My faith footing was slipping. But then he goes on to describe how he finally got his breakthrough and came to a place of peace. He says, this is the way I felt until I entered the sanctuary of God. That means I went into the place of prayer. Then I saw, catch this, the whole picture. The slippery road you have put the wicked on, with a final crash in a ditch of delusions. In the blink of an eye, they are consumed in a moment. Before he went into prayer, he was looking at everything through the natural eye. After he went into prayer, he saw everything through God's eyes. The way he viewed his troubles was changed, and he went from envying the wicked to pitying them. So your attitude can change, and here's how it changes. Say it with me. By rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, giving thanks. Those are the keys to adjusting your attitude, my attitude.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.